MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. I'm chatting with Maurice Oberholzer. He's head of multi-asset investments at Stanlib. Maurice, appreciate the time today. You and I have chatted before today. I want to look sort of more at the theoretical concept of multi-asset. Truthfully, I and probably most of my listeners who have our own private portfolios are, in essence, multi-asset portfolios. My first question to you, is multi-asset as simple as equity and bonds, or does it get wider these days? And there might be limitations if you're looking at a CIS fund, but is it sort of wider than just equity and bonds?
Yeah, hi Simon. It absolutely, I think, is wider than just equity and bonds. And I think, you know, historically, equity and bonds have worked quite well, both from a return perspective as well as a diversification perspective. But one of the things that we've been talking about for a number of years now is that what happens when bonds and equities are correlated? And that's where I think multi-asset or simple bonds and equity portfolio sometimes fails in the short run anyway. And that's where you need to widen your net around diversification and find other things to help drive returns and to help diversify your portfolio more appropriately. So I think in a world where we've seen correlations being very high across asset classes, investors do need to think a little bit more differently around the construction of portfolios. Not that bonds and equities and cash is the wrong thing, just that it won't always give you the return profile you think you need. And that could be over a 3 to 5 year period of time that you just don't get diversification. And if you recall, one of the central tendencies of our investment philosophy is that all assets are risk assets. And if you have that in mind, maybe it's not a bad thing to think about more equities than traditionally would be the case, or more bonds than traditionally would be the case. But our view would be that multi-asset does require a much wider suite of asset classes, and importantly, the way you express those asset class views.
Absolutely. And I really like, and you said it to me before, all assets are risk assets at the end of the day. When you're looking at, you know, maybe day one, you've got a fund you're setting up, sort of the allocations. I mean, is that where you start, where you decide, well, okay, we want X amount in equity bonds, maybe some in alternatives, perhaps some into cash? Is there sort of a thinking, of course, back to the classic sort of 60-40? Is that the first port of call, or is there more complexity to deciding those weightings?
I think, you know, sadly, finance is mirrored in kind of complexity a little bit. But if you forgive me, just stepping back a little bit and giving an old framework, that it depends. It all depends on what is the investor trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Are they trying to achieve the highest possible return? Are they trying to achieve the highest possible return per unit of risk? Those are two very different things. Are they trying to achieve maximum diversification? Are they trying to achieve a targeted volatility for a portfolio? And I could keep building on that story. But I think in South Africa, as we look at unitized or, you know, collective investment schemes, unit trusts, and forgive me if I then go back to the safety of that, I think the stand for us would be we want to, in a high equity multi-asset portfolio, we realize that clients are wanting equity growth in their portfolio. They're looking for capital appreciation. They're not looking for too much safety. They're not looking for an absolute return profile. They want equity returns or long-term growth.
Yeah.
But they've asked us to build a portfolio of high equity multi-asset. And that means that we're going to run in the range of 60 to 75% equity, because that's what the regulations force us to do. In a world where we're completely unconstrained, Simon, I'd approach it very differently. Again, where am I approaching it from the return per unit of risk? Mm-hmm. And in that case, I would go much wider than just the bond equity component. I would start thinking about all sorts of other things like leverage, commodities, which we can't utilize in VIC-28 portfolios, and really try and build that diversified asset base strategy, et cetera. But it would start with this, let's call it the midpoint of that 75 to 60% equity, as saying, okay, well, now what is correlated? Are bonds safe? Are they offering us value? What time horizon are we happy to look out to? How big is valuation in our world? In our world, valuation is just one way of looking at the world. We want to look at other things, and we'd build up our asset class views based on that. And then we would pivot quite aggressively around how we think the world is evolving. which is very different to, for instance, the way you might manage your money, which you're happy to have a fire and forget. Let's call it a 60-40 portfolio. Mm-hmm. In our world, and we're sitting in front of our computers, we're watching markets, we're watching news flow, we're watching the evolution of earnings, of volatility, of multiple geographies, and therefore we can adjust our tilts accordingly, either being more pro-equity, more pro-bonds, geographic focus, factor focus, all of those sorts of things would start coming into our viewpoints. So again, I started off by saying it depends how you express that view as well. It becomes a differentiator. But hopefully that gives you some insight into the thought process.
Yeah, I get it 100%. And you've kind of moved on to my next question, which was how much is it about value? And what you're saying, that certainly value does matter. In other words, if equities are crazy expensive, you're going to be at the low end of the range, you know, rather than at the high end. So there is that consideration as well. And it's, to your point, it's more than just value, but that's an easy one to pin a tail onto.
Well, sometimes, and again, forgive me now for doing that, but it depends. Value is in the eyes of the beholder, right?
Yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, my definition of value is going to be different from, you know, some of the other asset managers out there. In fact, it's different even within our own home of Stanley. Victor's view of valuation is different to mine, for instance. So I think if it was as simple as saying this asset is cheap and this asset is expensive, we wouldn't need analysts to uncover the hidden gems and the differentiated viewpoint that makes markets. And therefore, you know, value is in the eye of the beholder. But for us, valuations absolutely matter. But in the short run, we still need to deliver returns on a 1 year, 3 to 5 year basis. So assets can stay incredibly cheap for a long period of time. And we need to make sure that we're delivering returns for our clients. Otherwise, they can do it themselves in a 60-40 or in a 50-50 type multi-asset approach.
I'm going to leave it there, but what you also remind me is the complexities of managing other people's money as opposed to my own little portfolio. Maurice Oberholzer, Head of Multi-Asset Investment, Stanlib, always appreciate the insights. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.